This is Central Standard on KCUR. I'm Brian Ellison. The new iPhone came out 4 days ago and is already sold out in most markets. The new iOS 7 is taking over faster than any operating system ever has before. Meanwhile, Android turned 5 years old yesterday, and the world is approaching 1 million. Yes, 1 million apps. It's a good time to take stock of our mobile devices, and specifically the apps that streamline our lives, enhance our business, sharpen our minds, and just plain entertain us. Some of those apps are designed right here in Kansas City, and joining us for Appy Hour on Central Standard today are two local developers of mobile apps. Kirk Hazenzahl is president and co-founder of RareWire in downtown Kansas City. They've created a platform for creating and designing apps. They've done so for many companies you know, in fact. Welcome to you, Kirk.
Thank you for having me.
And also Jim Bassett. He's senior project manager for Pocket Cake, a fairly new company based in Blue Springs that's working primarily on game development. Welcome to you, Jim.
Thank you, sir.
Kirk, let me ask you first, how did you get into this business?
I had a partner named Matt Angel that I worked with for the past 10 years in the technology space, and he came to me with this idea that this new thing called the iPad was coming out, and it wasn't going to be easy to build apps on it, mm-hmm. and that he thought he had a solution to that. So my response was, I have no clue what you're talking about.
Right. Before the world of apps was something every five-year-old knew.
Exactly. And so I said, but, you know, I'm game if you're game. And so he went and built a prototype, and I went out and tried to sell it, and it took off from there.
So in those early days, what did go into developing an app, speaking in terms that that a layperson can understand?
You know, there's a lot of variables involved, but the simple answer is it's as Jim can attest to, is it's very hard and complicated to build an app, and you typically have to have very skilled programmers involved. And so the problem that we try to solve is to make that easier with our software platform and open up the market of potential app builders to graphic artists and front-end developers who could learn to build those complex apps.
So as a case in point, Jim, you are someone who develops apps on yourself. You designed your first app fairly recently, right?
Indeed, absolutely. Our first app was actually a game because we're a startup company, and a lot of the money produced in the app industry, actually 66% of all the revenue produced is from games. So that's where we thought we'd start, but we're not against. We greatly appreciate the value of a good app. But trying to come up with that niche X-factor app is an extreme challenge, so we started on the gaming side ourselves.
Is it a little bit like any other kind of invention? You invent 100 things or 1,000 things, and you hope that one of them sticks to the wall?
You do, absolutely. we call it the app lotto. Uh-huh. So technically things like Candy Crush or Temple Run, those sorts of things that become really viral. Skype is a big app out there. You know, these things that are known by everybody. When those things go viral, all of a sudden you go from 100,000 users to 100 million users, and it's just kind of a whirlwind. So we'd like to shoot for that.
I bet. So walk us through the process. I mean, this is a growing part of the tech industry, and it's happening right here in Kansas City. Where does the development of an app start, Kirk?
You know, that starts with an idea, and you'd be surprised of all the crazy ideas that we get contacted with all across the board. Then it kind of turns into how do you construct it? And so there's a lot of options out there, and we like helping clients with that. And depending on the scope of work, it's something that might be able to be built in a few days or a few weeks or a few months. It just depends on the idea. But as you mentioned earlier, a key part of the plan to having a successful app is you got to promote it because there's a million apps out there now. And so that's a big part of the struggle. We tell people all the time, I can build you whatever you want, but you need to have a good business plan as well to promote the app and get the word out there that it exists and get people to try it out.
Well, right. I mean, and that does seem like the downside of there being a million apps, right?
Absolutely.
You may go your whole life using your phone 20 hours a day and never see the vast majority of apps.
Being unknown and getting over that hurdle from being unknown to being known is one of the biggest challenges. There's so many different models that you can use for marketing and advertising to get out there. And right now it's really unknown because this industry is so young still. I mean, we're coming up in October, like you said, Android's about to have its fifth year. So the models that exist, there's no guarantees for them, really. So everybody has to kind of develop their, do a lot of analytic research, figure out some of the big AAA titles, what they do, use some of those models. Typically, those models require a lot of funding and a lot of money. So therefore, on the startup side, you look on the lesser side, maybe a grassroots campaign and go word of mouth and that sort of thing.
Let's invite our listeners to be part of the conversation and begin by sharing what you think are some of the coolest apps you know of out there right now. 816-235-2888. What are the apps that you think maybe other people don't know about, but they really should? 816-235-2888. Maybe there's an app you haven't found that you think someone needs to invent. Call us and tell us about it, or email us at centralstandard@kcur.org. Obviously, part of why we have you here is the fact that you're both local and you can get here to the studio. That says something, doesn't it, that Kansas City is becoming a center of app development. Is this happening in every city in the country? Is there something special about being here in Kansas City, Kirk?
I don't know about other cities. I suspect that there's a little bit of it happening everywhere since there's a million apps out there in the market today.
Yeah.
But specifically in Kansas City, I think that there's been a number of factors that have created a lot of excitement in Kansas City. The one that brought a lot of attention was Google Fiber coming to town. But on top of that, I think the city and the mayor's office did a great job capitalizing on that. And so they put together something called Launch KC that's promoted tech startups and entrepreneurism in Kansas City. There's a Big Five initiative to make Kansas City the best entrepreneurial city that's got a lot of attention as well. So all that together has created some good results of exciting startups either beginning or moving to Kansas City.
And besides your two companies, there are other startups and other existing companies that are doing this work.
There are. I actually just heard there's a new startup company in Lee Summit that's coming up. So we have a couple of those. We have some downtown. We have a very large indie development crowd in Kansas City, which are the independent developers that are working, you know, either by themselves or with one person. But that market is huge. We run a couple meetups, one for Unity 3D, and we go to many around town. I think the meetup functionality is just great in the city because you get to expand and meet more, create that interaction for everybody in the IT field, and make some ends, because in this industry, it's really about making ends and meeting people and getting to learn more about your product and the industry.
Let me ask you a little bit about that industry and about sort of the business model at work. As you mentioned, it's incredibly hard to get an app even noticed, much less purchased, or make any money about it or off of it. How do companies make money designing apps?
That's a detailed question, actually, because you have quite a few different models that you can go by. You can go freemium version. You can try and make money off your ads. You can go off the ad-free conversion. You have things like in-app purchases, and then you have subscriptions. So really, for app versus games, there's a functionality of a subscription base as to where you have it versus use or users for your clients. And then with games, you have things like in-app purchases. You know, somebody plays Candy Crush and they want to buy something to help them beat that level. Well, it's there.
And I realize that that we're talking like everybody knows everything we're talking about. But when we talk about an app, let's be clear about what we're talking about. App is short, or it used to be anyway, for application. What distinguishes an app from, say, just other things that your phone does or that your computer would do?
Well, I like to describe it as being mobile, because the word app also applies to a software application that might run on your desktop or something else like
right.
that. But then when you get into mobile, then there's a number of ways and options to construct it depending on what you want. But typically it's that button on your desktop, so to speak, or on your screen of your mobile device that gets people excited.
Right. And obviously, sometimes the app is its own thing, like the game that Jim has designed. Sometimes an app is a company's way of making itself more available to customers. I know you've worked with a lot of companies like that, right, Kurt?
Yeah, that's our focus. And so we've had the good fortune to work with companies like Black & Veatch, who built an app. And it wasn't about making money for them. It was to promote all the great work that they've done. So it's kind of an investor relations company info app that shows all the cool projects that they've done.
So it's not that a user needed to go onto their app to pay their bill to them or something. It was more a little advertisement for them.
Absolutely. But, you know, another good example that we were fortunate enough to work on was one for Boulevard Brewery, where they didn't just want to replicate their website. So they came up with this creative idea of making a beer finder app where you could download it and it would use a GPS of your phone and show you where you're at and show you pins on a map of where you could go find your favorite Boulevard beer around town.
If you're having a Boulevard emergency, yeah, you can find that. What's the difference between developing that kind of app or and taking something that's more complex, like a game app? Or is it more complex? Jim?
You have the different functionalities all play a part into it. And applications can be from incredibly simple to incredibly advanced, depending on what kind of databases, if they have to pull and retrieve data. Games, on the other hand, are advanced in the idea that you have to graphics. When you incorporate graphics into a game, you incorporate the graphics, the functionality of the graphics. And then when you get into animations, there's a lot of things that can go wrong. So when you create an app and you have a base functionality of saying, hey, I want to know the mortgage calculation for this and pull this up from this county, that's simple. That's cut and dry. So when you have a game and you have somebody jumping and that jumping character has to collide with this obstacle, you have to test that redundantly over and over and over, because somewhere in that line you have different factors of code. So you have the animation and then you have the collisions and this has to meet up correctly. And when you test that, you pretty much want people to just try and break it.
It all starts to sound really complicated. How many people does it take to design an app?
I could say one person could design an app, absolutely, because it's a creative process. I mean, you have to come up with that. But to make it really refined, you need more people in it. You need outside opinions.
Well, speaking of outside opinions, we want to invite listeners to tell us what apps they think we should notice. You can tweet at KCURCST. That's KCURCST, our Twitter feed. Genevieve tweeted there, try out Paint Harmony. It lets you take a picture of a room and paint the walls different colors. So there's a selling point for her. You can also call us and let us know your favorites or the app that you don't think is out there but should be. 816-235-2888, 235-2888. Kirk Hazenzahl, president and co-founder of RareWire, besides the many excellent apps that RareWire has been involved in, what do you think are some of the hottest apps out there right now?
You know, there's a few locally that were done locally that I really like. One that's more entertainment-based that's been relevant lately is called Race to the Pennant,
okay,
which is a cool little app that lets you track the pennant race. So that's been relevant to the Royals' efforts lately, and it's been exciting.
Absolutely.
Another one that was built locally along a baseball theme was called Tap Teach Baseball. There's a little kids game that my kids love to teach them the simple rules of baseball. And then as far as utility goes, one of my favorite apps that I work with and use is from Country Club Bank. They put out what I think is a phenomenal app that makes it easy to do banking and things that I need to do as far as transferring money and managing your money. So I really like that one.
Such a diversity of worlds that we're talking about, everything from a bank transaction app to advertisements to things to teach your kids. I wonder if the market for educational apps is one that we see. We had a show last week about various sorts of virtual education. It seems like this might be one of the big areas of growth.
It's humongous, yeah. We actually have two apps in design for some education base. One on we're meeting with some teachers locally to get some great feedback to come up with this functioning app for the teachers. And then we have a couple for the pre-K and the smaller kids to learn the basics and phonics. One of my favorite apps is Vine for a fun functioning app. It takes 6-second videos where you can kind of stop motion it. On the business side of it, the Google Drive app for me is priceless because it allows me to get to all my files immediately and share with investors and say, hey, I need to show you this. Here it is. Share it. Send it. And then I guess on the Apple side, one of my programmers is very fond of something called NDTV. It's a news app which lets you kind of read the newspaper but will stream real-time news at the bottom of the page so you can kind of hear the news and read the news if you're big into active news.
Good to know. Kirk?
One of the things that happened recently in the education space is that app that I mentioned earlier, that company TapTeach put on an event about a month or so ago at the Google Fiber Space where they had a hackathon that they invited teachers to come in and bring all their ideas and network with app builders. That was sponsored by the EDC and the mayor. That was a big success and kind of got the teachers exposed to the app world, let them know that it was easier than they might think to turn their ideas into real functioning apps. So that was a pretty neat thing that I think is exciting. It's going to happen again here in Kansas City.
You've mentioned a couple times the mayor's involvement and sort of the city and citywide initiative, Chamber of Commerce involvement in making technology happen here. Is there more that we should be looking for in that regard? Are there major initiatives or programs coming out in the coming months?
Absolutely. I don't know if it's anything official yet, but there's a lot of effort being made by Launch KC and the mayor's office to bring new resources to entrepreneurs and make it to continue the growth and the excitement that's happening in Kansas City, I guess is the best way to say it for now. I think all the details will come out here in the next month or two.
We had an email from Al who says he has a great idea for an app. Could I profit from just the idea and working with developers? How would I get started? So is it enough to just have an idea for an app? Is that a way for you to actually make a profit, or do you have to actually know something about development yourself? Jim Bassett, you've been on the developing side at Pocket Cake.
Yeah, I'd say a great idea is a great idea, but that's only really one step. Obviously, it always requires money. Money becomes involved when you have a process, so it depends on how in-depth it is. And more than anything, you review it and you talk about the idea and you share it with friends and you test that functionality in real time and say, hey, would this be value added to you? Is this a functioning idea to you? And if you walked around for a month and talked to 150 people about it and all 150 people said, yes, I would love to see that, then I might invest some time into reaching fruition with that idea.
And you in fact, do some market testing in the Kansas City area with your own apps, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We go through a couple different areas and some local publications, and we just test the functionality because really for me it's all about the analytics and the models that we're trying to achieve. So it's the value per dollar that we spend on the actual retention that we get out of our users and saying we want to create engagement in Kansas City and we want to create an excitement for this industry because it's amazing. It's humongous. It's one of the most impressive revenue-generating industries in history, honestly, is what the app world is. And it's technically only reached 1/6 of its potential at the moment.
We had a call from Carrie in Plattsburgh. She couldn't stay on the line, but she said she went to Chicago and used a public transportation app there to get around. It made getting around much easier. I know I've done that in New York City. Any chances of that happening in Kansas City that you guys are aware of? Is there an app that can help you get around from a public transit standpoint?
I haven't heard about that, but it sounds like a wonderful idea. I don't see ease of use in my first coming into Kansas City, which I was born out here, but when I came back after years in downtown, I was lost. So to have something that would help you navigate would be very functional.
Absolutely. Kirk?
I think there's some ideas and discussions underway with the Mayor's Challenge Cabinet to work on an app for the 311 system for the city. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if that'll tie into the transportation or not. To the caller's question about ideas, one thing I would suggest is get involved in Startup Weekend. Kauffman Foundation's here in Kansas City. It's an incredible resource, and one of the things they sponsor and put on is a Startup Weekend where people with ideas can go and join teams and participate in a hackathon that a lot of times turn into real companies that come out of that.
What is the hackathon?
It's basically an event where you kind of go and share your ideas, and they pick the top ideas and form teams and work for 24 hours, night and day, and go build a prototype. And it's a competition, and then at the end they pick the winners. And a lot of times there's a number of examples where real companies have come out of these things and gone on to flourish.
So, Kirk, you have people come to you wanting to develop apps or to have the tools so that they can develop apps. What's the wackiest app concept that has been proposed to you? Or someone in the top 10?
I'll tell you a different story. I can't think of the exact idea that's the wackiest, but one, I got a phone call one time that was referred by my brother.
Okay.
And he said, I got an idea for an app and I want to figure out how much it would cost to build. I said, great, we'd love to help you. And the guy said, I can't tell you what it is. And I said, what do you mean? He's like, well, I don't want anybody to steal my idea. And I said, well, how do you expect me to figure out an estimate to build that if I don't even know what it was? So that happens a lot where people have the greatest ideas in the world and they call up and they're very sensitive and protective of sharing that idea. So it's always a delicate balance of working through that. But
yeah, I mean, it strikes me that that's sort of an age-old problem. That would have been true with someone working on a new light bulb idea, but who didn't have the electrical skill to pull it off, having to figure out how to make something work without giving it away.
Mm-hmm. And I'd say two fixes for that would be that you prepare a NDA so that when you go to
what's an NDA?
A non-disclosure agreement.
Okay.
So that will protect your discussion, your intellectual rights therein. Or it only costs $35 for to apply for a copyright. So you could do it in probably about an hour. So if you'd like a little bit of protection for your idea, create an NDA so when you discuss it with somebody, you can have that protected or get it copyrighted.
Jim Bassett, your first app is out now. It's called LavaCat. What's the trajectory that you hope to see for this game?
Really, it goes back to old school gaming roots. It's a difficult game. It's not easy to play, but it goes back to kind of the old school Nintendo way.
Mm-hmm.
And with Pocket Cake in particular, we are very offended by certain price gouging factors in the industry. Everybody really doesn't know the half-life of what an app or a game will last out there, so they're trying to be as greedy as they can with it and get all the money they can as fast as they can. And we're really looking for creating player engagement and enjoyment. So, like, our games are totally free. We run some ads in there, but they don't run in the game, so we try and be considerate.
Kirk, what's next for RareWire? What's the next big thing?
We got selected as one of the 15 hottest startups that get to present at the Next Web Conference next week in New York.
Well, congratulations. Congratulations to both of you on the progress for your companies. Jim Bassett is Senior Project Manager for Pocket Cake. Kirk Hazenzahl is President and Co-Founder of RareWire. Thanks to both of you for being here today.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
You can subscribe to our podcast. You can hear this conversation again. You can access any of our previous shows by using the app on your mobile device that lets you get to the central standard page of KCUR.org. Tomorrow, we'll have the Cash Money crew here. We'll talk about home loans and mortgages. Up to Date is coming up next. They're looking at the economic crisis and the potential government shutdown that's looming. Central Standard is produced by Matthew Long Middleton with help from Ross Steinmetz and Sydney Llewellyn. I'm Brian Ellison. This is KCUR.